Take your Bibles. Please turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We'll read verses 49 through 56 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 119, verses 49 through 56. Psalm 119, verses 49 through 56. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, please be with us. Oh, it's been exciting in Sunday school this morning and all the things that we got to do there and all the fellowship. Lord, the beginning part of the service with all the music and all the exciting parts about the spring program, but calm our hearts, calm our minds. May we focus on the Word of God. May we listen to the man of God to get from heaven what we need. Change our hearts and our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
We've had a few extra activities this morning. I'm going to ask that everybody give me your attention quickly. Everybody settle yourselves, turn your cell phones off, please, if you will. Barring an emergency, sit very still. A little extra noise over in here somewhere this morning. I'm going to ask that everybody be attentive to what's said during church today. I'm going to read again to you one of the verses that you read earlier. Psalm 119, verse 50 says this: is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. This week, I had occasion to meet with our bank. We are working toward the loan process for the building of our college dormitories. Myself, a couple of our staff men were sitting with the bankers, and they were in my office. While we were there, we went through, just paperwork after paperwork after paperwork, you know, just so much detail and all of that. And then one of the regional commercial loan officers said to me, he said, Dr. Owens, he said, do you already have curriculum, for your Bible college? I said, why, yes, sir, we do. We have lots of curriculum. Matter of fact, I will show you the primary curriculum right now. I reached into my briefcase, pulled out my old King James Bible. I laid it down there on the desk. I said, this is my curriculum. I said, there are 66 books in it. It is a perfect word, and I thank God for it. I said, there's my curriculum. There's my curriculum. Now, I said, of course, we have other curriculum and in abundance. But I said, I actually pulled my Bible out, laid it right in the middle of my desk. I pointed at it and said, this, right here, this. This, in many respects, the same events of life happen to all of us. We can all speak of our affliction. Psalm 119, verse 50, it says, in my affliction, it says, good men and bad men face affliction. Educated men and uneducated men face affliction. Affliction or burdens or heartaches. Well-known people and unknown people face affliction. Young people face affliction as well as old people face affliction. Burdens and heartaches, they know no boundaries. They know no stopping point. Everybody, to some degree, face some of the same type of afflictions, some today and some tomorrow. Some early in life, some later in life, some in the morning, some in the evening. But everybody here is going to face affliction. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 10 puts it this way. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. What's that mean? In our hearts, we all know of our own bitter challenges of life, and we all face them. It's a wonderful thought, though, that's given here in the scripture in Psalm 119, verse 50. Again, it says, "This is my comfort in my affliction." I love that. The psalmist here says, "Let me show you something. I have my affliction." And then in it, he goes on to say, "For thy word hath quickened me." Now, the psalmist said, "I have my affliction," but in the same verse, he said, "I have my comfort." What balance in one verse? Listen to it. "This is my comfort in my affliction." He said, yes, I have my affliction, but yes, I have my comfort. And folks, yes, you have your affliction, but yes, you have your comfort. Yes. David here is testifying God's comfort in David's life was equivalent to, but yet greater than, the affliction in David's life, but he points it all out in one verse. And that's true for all believers. Folks, whatever your affliction, God's word is equal to your affliction in its ability to comfort. But I've got better news than that for you. It's not just equal to, it is superior to your affliction. Whatever comes after you, you've got God on your side, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's always true. Hey, folks, there's always enough grace to handle your burden. There's always enough of God's power to see you through your struggle. David, in this passage of Scripture, let me promise you, David had faced his fair share of burdens and heartaches. Some of David's heartaches and burdens and afflictions were self-inflicted, but may I say, he had comfort that would exceed his affliction. Some of David's burdens and afflictions were enemy-inflicted. He had enemies. Hey, some were life-inflicted. Folks, there's just a part of life that's going to be uphill. Nothing is born without labor. And so, I say to you, David, some self-inflicted problems, some enemy inflicted problems, some life inflicted problems, but all under the ever watchful eye of God. Yes. Today, in our midst, in this congregation, we have a variety of people facing a variety of burdens. Some here face health issues. Some here face relationship issues or employment issues or broken hearts or disappointments. You name it. We have it represented in regard to burdens or heartaches or afflictions. It's here in this building. But let me say to all of us, we have a variety of afflictions. But may I encourage you today, I want you to know, just like David, we also have comfort. We have affliction, but we have comfort. Now, stay with me this morning. The name of my sermon is this. This. T-H-I-S. The entire sermon's title is this. 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 Stay with me, please. Number one, saved men get their comfort from a different source than lost men. So you and I, we have a different source of comfort. Remember, it says Psalm 119, 150, "This is my comfort." It says, "For thy word hath quickened me." Worldly men get their comfort from worldly sources. The godly Christian gets his comfort from this. This, that's what the scripture said. This is my comfort. I believe this. I think that there in Psalm 119:50, it starts the verse out with the word this. This is my comfort. I believe almost as if David did what I just did. David is writing about his comfort, and he said, "This is my comfort." I picture David grabbing a hold of whatever parchment the word of God might have been printed on, and he said, "This is my comfort." Folks, guess what? You say, "Brother Owens, how are we going to make it?" This. How are we going to take it? This. What advice do you have for me today, Brother Owens? This. This right here. His comfort is present tense. He said this. His comfort is not futuristic. It was now. He said this. He presently grabbed a hold of the comfort that was available on the spot. And now he said, he looked at it and he said, this is, not was, not could be, but is. Hey, and I may say it was and it will be, but it is right now. This. He didn't say that. As if it were out of reach. Hey, folks, comfort's not out of reach. Comfort's so close, it's this. So he didn't say that. He said this. He claimed it right then, right there. Notice, it was a singular this. He didn't say those. He said this. This is our comfort. This is His Word. This is our confidence. This is our comfort. This is our hope. This is our strength. Psalm 46:1 says, a very present help in time of trouble. I love it because the psalmist starts out and he says, I get my comfort from a place that the world does not. Somebody said, well, where do you get your comfort? He said this. This. You have your Bible with you? Could I recommend you grab a hold of that thing for a second? Grab a hold of it. And let me tell you, when you face something this week, you're asking yourself, or the devil's asking you, or somebody asks you, how are you going to make it? How are you going to take it? Why don't you grab your Bible, point at it, and say this right here. This. Hold that thing up. Say this right there. Right there. This. You say, that's kind of silly. No, that's the Word of God. This book. This Word. This Scripture. This is your hope. This is my hope. This is my comfort. This is what's going to see me through. This. You see, you and I, we have something different. We have this. Let me say secondly, lost men and weak Christians seek comfort from the wrong sources.
Right.
Lost men and weak Christians seek comfort from the wrong sources. Some look for comfort in their wealth. Luke 12:19 says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here, the Bible uses these words. Somebody says, and everybody look right this way, please. Somebody said, well, how are you going to make it? And this man says, well, I've got much goods. I've got much goods. You know what? You know what that means? Somebody, I have here in my pocket, I've got a few coins. Somebody said, hey, how are you going to make it? Somebody in the world said, I've got these coins. And they wrapped their hand around it and said, this, wait a minute. That's not what I hang on to. I'm not hanging on to my money. That's not my this. My this is the Word of God. Not only that. Maybe this is cash or gold or silver or whatever. Hey, I've got my this. My this is the Word of God. So some look for comfort in their current wealth and the money that they have in their hands. Some look for their comfort in their savings. He said this in Luke 12:19. He said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. What's it mean? Well, I've got my savings account. There are some people that you ask them, how are you going to take it in the next 5 or 6 years? They'll grab a hold of their savings book and they'll say, this. Well, I've got my checking account. This. And they grab a hold of their checkbook. They say, well, you know, I've got me some precious metals and I've got me some diamonds buried in the backyard. And they grab a hold of those things and say this. You ask me how I'm going to make it in the next few years, I'm going to grab a hold of this. You see, the world, they're looking for their comfort and their security from other things than you and I. You and I, we'd grab a hold of the old black book and say, that's it, right there. This is what I'm depending on. It's not the money I have in my hand right now. It's not even the money that I have laid in store. And folks, you ought to save, and you ought to prepare, and you ought to be careful with your money. But if you think your money is going to be the primary security for your future, you've got your eyes off your primary security. Your primary security is the God of this book. See, the world, they get their comfort from other sources. Some look for comfort in their horoscope. They went to the newspaper this morning, grabbed it, looked up the horoscope, and grabbed a hold of that newspaper and said, This! I've got good news, but it's not the same one that came out of the newspaper. I've got the good news right here. There are some that seek their comfort in their superstitions, their acts of luck, their lucky number. There's somebody, you've got your lucky number. Boy, you grabbed that thing and said, this is it. No, our lucky number is the numbers found on the pages of the book of Scripture. Those are our lucky numbers. Some depend on their palm readers or maybe their fortune cookies. Do you have some fortune cookies in your hand right now and you're looking at that as your security for life? Look at this! Went down and had me some rice and some Chinese food and they gave me a fortune cookie and the fortune said to me I was going to have a good year and so I just believed it. And folks, do you know how many people don't truly have a hope on which they can depend and they let that sort of stuff lead them and guide them? Somebody's got fortune cookies in their hand today saying, this. There are people that call their psychic. Why? Well, they'll hold that telephone and make their phone call and pay their 99 cents an hour and hold that phone. They say, this is it. This is where I'm going to get my hope. This is where I'm going to get my comfort. That's not going to help you, folks. Some people, they're always searching and they have an unhealthy belief in their dreams. I dreamed it, so it's going to happen. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff I dream. Brother! I hope it don't happen. There are some of you, you will bank your whole life on a dream. You better get you the same dream that God had. You say, well, what's God's dreams for me? This. That's where, hey, there are people that they grab their fortune cookies and they say this. They grab their horoscope in the newspaper, they hold it up like you and I do, and they say this. Then there are those that grab a hold of the cash they have in their pocket and say this. Then they hold on to their savings book and they say this. Then those dreamers hang on to their pillow and say this. This is what I base my future on. This is where I get my comfort. This is what's going to help me through my affliction. Some go to gambling. I'm going to gamble my way into success. So they take the dice and put it in their hand. Say, this is what's going to get me through. They take that deck of cards while they're at the table there at the casino and they say, these cards, they wrap their hand around it and say, this is my future. This is how I'll get rich. This is what's going to carry me through. Or they wrap their hand around the arm of a slot machine and they say this. And today, folks, there are people addicted everywhere and they keep thinking, oh, my tomorrow is in the hands of this. They go out and buy their lottery ticket and say, this is it. This is my big break. Folks, let me give you something about which you do not have to take a chance. Wrap your hand around the Bible and say, this is my comfort. This is my hope. Some look to drugs for their comfort. And so they wrap their fingers around a joint of marijuana. And they say, this is my future. This is what will see me through my hard times. This is what will help me to get through the night. Or they wrap their hand around a needle so they can pump heroin into their arm. You know what they're saying? Is they grab that syringe in their hand and get ready to take their thumb, put the pressure on it to pump that drug into their vein. They've got their hand wrapped around it saying, this is my hope. This is my escape. This is my answer. This is my comfort. They take that little straw. Or maybe they've rolled up a dollar bill to make it look like a straw so they can toot their cocaine. So it can suck it right up into their nostrils. You know what they're saying? When they grab that straw between their fingers so they can suck that cocaine into their nose, they're saying, this is my comfort. This is going to help me to relax. This is what I'm going to use to calm me in the issues of life. Folks, let me tell you something. People everywhere are grabbing a hold of all sorts of different things, looking for for comfort. I say to you today, oh Christian, wrap your hand around your Bible and say, this is where I get my comfort. Some look to men for their comfort. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Notice it says cursed. Hey, listen folks. We sometimes look for that ultimate comfort from a man. The man that you can trust in 100% is Jesus Christ. Put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the waters. You grab a hold of the hand of Jesus Christ. You hold it up and say, this is my comfort. You better be careful getting your, hey, if you're constantly dependent on some other human being to comfort you, I must tell you, we'll try and everybody will try to help each other. But when you need ultimate comfort, grab a hold of the hand of Jesus Christ and say, this is my King. This is my champion. Grab the hand of man and hold it up, and you're holding the wrong thing. That's not the this that David was talking about here in Psalm 119 verse 50. Some look to liquor. They look to liquor. They grab a hold of their Budweiser on Friday night as they're drinking away their paycheck. And they grab that Budweiser, which by the way ought to be renamed Bud Stupider. It's not Budweiser. They grab a hold of that Budweiser and they tip it up. And basically, as they're all cheering and saluting one another, they're saying, this is our comfort. This is what we live for. And some of you used to do it. And you know people that still to this day look forward to the weekend to run to a bottle of comfort. And Southern comfort destroys lives, not makes lives. They'll grab that bottle of Jack Daniels and say, this is my comfort. Oh my, does that lead you down the tragic trail? Oh my, the devil water lies to you. There are people everywhere putting their hands on the can and on the old long neck and pouring out their Seagram and 7-Up and they're gulping it down saying, this will help me. This will solve my problem. This is what I've been looking for. And what they're really looking for is the this that is the eternal one that can change their life. The this of the Word of God. Unsaved man runs from artificial comfort to artificial comfort, never really finding that for which they're looking. I mean, you see it. They run over here and somebody says, look, this, my liquor, this is it. And when the liquor doesn't do it, they run over here and say, drugs, hey, this is it. I found it. I found what I need. And then they find out the drugs don't solve the problem. Just make it worse. And they throw that down. They run over here and they find something else. And they say, hey, it's the pornography. This is what's going to help me to make it through, and I need something that pleases my flesh. And they hold that up, and everywhere they go, unsaved man is grabbing this, and he's grabbing that, and he's grabbing this, and he's grabbing that. Slow down. Why don't you just grab a hold of this? This. David said, this is my comfort. You see, you and I as born again Christians, we get our comfort from a different source. You say, from where? From this. Lost man, he has his ways of seeking comfort. But we find out that those places and ways of seeking comfort, that's not what God had in mind. Thirdly, of course, our source of comfort is the Word of God. That's what he said here in Psalm 119 verse 50. He said, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word. For thy word hath quickened me. What was David's comfort? He said, the word of God. See, God's word is full of promises about comfort. Full. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You say, Brother Owens, I need comfort. I need hope. Where am I going to get it? This. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The word content there means held together. I'm going to be held together. What's going to hold me together? Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now let me tell you something. You say, Brother Owens, I don't know if I can hold it together. Can you give me something to help me hold it together? Yes, I can. I can give you this. This. I can give you hope with this. I can help you to hold it together with this. Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus said, I'm with you always. Who is that? That's Jehovah God. Always. 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 He even put a little extra assurance in there. He said, even unto the end of the world. You say, Brother Owens, what in the world is going on out there in our world? Everywhere there's unrest. And in the Middle East, what a mess. Oh my, are we coming to the end of the world? What are we going to do? What are we going to depend on? This. This. Relax, Christian. He gave us an end of the world survival manual. It's this. This. Scripture's full of it. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. All your care? Why? He careth? You say, Brother Owens, is there somebody that I can depend on that cares? Jesus, the book of this. This. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Oh wow. What? I need something to sustain me. What's going to hold me up? This. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that me in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You say, Brother Owens, I need peace in my life. There's an absence of peace. Can you tell me a source of peace? Yes, this book. God promised peace. 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Owens, I need something to calm me down. I need victory. I need some assurance for tomorrow's victory. You say, what is it? It's this. This. John 14:16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that you may he may abide with you forever. You say, Brother Owens, I need a comforter to go to work with me tomorrow. Preacher, my Sunday school teacher can't go to work with me tomorrow, and I face a big battle. And preacher, you can't go to work with me tomorrow. And some young person said, preacher, you can't go to school with me tomorrow, and I face a big burden. And you say, you can't go with me where I must go. I've got news for you. God said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll send the Holy Spirit of God, and that Spirit, this Spirit, the Spirit that helped write this book said, I'll go with you. This is a book of comfort. This book right here. But not only that, God's Word records His goodness and His comfort to others. Why? Because this book gives hope. He says, This book has been carrying people for a long time. This book's helped a lot of people. Let me read a couple of verses to you and stay with me now. It says in Psalm 77, it says, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Now listen, here's somebody that's had some struggle. Listen to this. It says, will the Lord cast me off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. The psalmist said, when things got tough for me and I began to doubt, I started remembering back to the times that this book brought me through. And if this book can bring me through in the past, this book can bring me through right now. You say, I'm worried about the future. Just look back. This book has brought the saints of God through every trial, every heartache, every burden, every threat, every lie, every hurt. That book right there, this book is the key. When afflicted today, I will remember. I remember the strength of thy right hand, God. I think of the story of old Elijah in 1 Kings 19. There was Elijah. He had fought the prophets of Baal, and Jezebel and Ahab were out to get him. Elijah was to the point where he was depressed, feeling sorry for himself. He's sitting under a juniper, whining, crying, and almost to the point where he says, I'd rather die than be in this case. And God comes along and God feeds Elijah and God helps to comfort Elijah. If you had a chance, I'll tell you this, you could go to Elijah after God seen him through that depressing time and say, Elijah, how'd you make it? You know what I think Elijah would have said? He said, I made it by this book. I think of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how that they were thrown into that burning fiery furnace in Daniel chapter 3. They had been persecuted for their faith. The Bible says the three of them went into that burning fiery furnace. Somebody looked in and said, you know what? It looks like there's not only three people inside that furnace. It looks like there's four. And the fourth is likened to the Son of God. And you say, well, if you ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego how they came through that fire, there was not a burn mark on them. Had you even asked them while they were in the fire, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, how are you making it through there? They looked at Jesus and said, this. I'm making it through because of this. This. Noah, a flood. Listen, Noah was facing global disaster. And God provided an ark and spared Noah and his family because they were saved. They were righteous people and God spared them. And I'll promise you, when you got on the other side of the flood, if you would have said to Noah, Noah, what brought you through? He wouldn't have pointed to the ark. He would have said, this, the word of God is what brought me through. Paul and Silas were in jail. They had been persecuted and unjustly punished. And at midnight, the Bible says, you went down by the jail. Instead of Paul and Silas whining and crying around and feeling sorry for themselves and going down and taking a bunch of drugs to calm themselves down and going out and getting drunk to calm themselves down and looking for some man to calm them down, they looked to the Savior and they began to sing. They began to sing about Jesus Christ. And if you would have gone to Paul and Silas who sang at midnight and said, what helped you to get through? Paul would have grabbed up his Bible and said, this is why we sing. Daniel in the lion's den, he was outnumbered. The enemy hated him, and the lions were getting ready to have some Hebrew steak. And Daniel made it all the way through. He survived that whole incident, and I will promise you, and you see it in the scripture over and over and over again. The guy that threw Daniel in the lion's den went over, looked in the den and said, Daniel, are you okay in there? You've been in there with them hungry lions overnight. And Daniel said, it's okay. And that king said, how'd you make it through the night? And Daniel held up his Bible and said, this is what will see me through. You see, God's word had quickened David. David starts that verse in Psalm 119 verse 50. He says, this is my comfort. This is what gets me through this. Not that, not those, this. See, God's word had already quickened David's life. This is just another source of his comfort. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. That word quickened there means alive. It kept me alive. What is quickened? It means it's what revived me. It's what preserved my life. It restored my life. It gives me life. See, David had already experienced the power of God's word in his life. Listen to this. In Psalm 116, verse number 8, it says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. You see, David was able to say, my comfort is in this, and I know it. I know what God's already done for me with this book, and if he's done what he's already done, it's amazing what is left that he could do. My God can handle anything for me. David knew that. He said, for thou hast delivered my soul. David said, I was on my way to hell. This saved me. And if this can save me back then, this can help keep me safe now. He even says this in this passage in Psalm 116:8. He says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears. You say, Brother Owens, last night I cried myself to sleep. Oh, the burden, the heartache that's come upon me. Can I tell you something? David cried himself to sleep too. But David said, I know what God can do. God delivered me from tears before, and this same book can deliver me from tears today. It says here, for thou hast delivered my soul. There's his salvation from death. Mine eyes from tears. There's crying himself to sleep at night. And my feet from falling. You know what? That means that God had saved David and helped David so that David didn't stumble and mess up his life. He said, I'll help you to stabilize your steps. I think David is remembering his own testimony and the comfort that God had already proven in the past. Let me tell you something. This still works. This still works. This, right here, this, 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 that's the answer. This is the answer. David tells of God's deliverance in his life. Listen to Psalm 119:67. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Here, he said, I've had an affliction come upon me. He said, there were times when I got backslidden. David admitted to that. And whatever you do, don't be a Pharisee about David. You've had your times of backsliding too. He said, but I've got this affliction. Now I'm keeping his word. David is saying, this word changed my life. Listen to it. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word? Oh my. David is saying here, this changed my life. Since I got into this, I'm less worldly. And since I got into this, since I started reading this, since I started standing for this, since I started loving this, since I started memorizing this, hey, I pray more. I'm more tender. I have more faith. Folks, you want to make it through life? You're going to need to make it through this. 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 If God's word can do all this in David's past, he said that it can do it for me now. I love it. I'll never, after having read this scripture and having this one word jump out at me, this, I'll never again, when we sing the song, this is my story, this is my song, this, this, this. There's a song that we sing from the songbook. It's called In Times Like These. In times like these, it says, this rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds. Make sure you're standing on that solid rock. You say, what rock? This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. This, this, this. You say, Brother Owens, that's a little old-fashioned. Hey, this always has been and always will be. You say, but that's not what the new religious people are saying. This, 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 this. It doesn't matter what the new religious people say. It matters what God says. And I hold in my hand the Word of God. This, this is the answer. May I say to the lost world, God can also quicken you. The word quicken means make alive. See, we're dead in our trespasses and sins until we get saved. You need salvation to get you alive if you're not saved. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. Ye are saved. You need to get saved. You say, well, what do I need to get saved? You need Jesus. You need this. Jesus was the walking word of God. It said there in Acts chapter 1, verse number 11, they said, this same Jesus. Hey, the same Jesus that saved people while he was alive walking this earth is the same Jesus that'll save me and you. This Jesus. This. This. Now, wait a minute here. Let me tell you something. If you died today and you're not 100% sure you go to heaven, I got to tell you something. Right back here, this is our baptistry. This won't save you. You can go back in there and grab you a handful of water. You can go back in there and grab you a baptismal robe. You can go back in there and you can grab a hold of that cross while you get baptized. But I'm going to tell you something. This water does not save you. You better grab a hold of Jesus. And I don't mean grab a hold like you're supposed to do something. What I mean is this. This Jesus is the Savior. We passed an offering plate around a little bit ago. Do you realize there are some people that think they're going to get to heaven because they put money in the offering plate? I'm going to grab a hold of this. I've got the offering plate in my hands. That's what I'm depending on to get me to heaven. You can give all the money that you want, but the offering plate is not the this that will get you to heaven. The baptistry is not the this that will get you to heaven. You say, Brother Owens, I'm going to do some good works down at the church. I'm going to get me a shovel and shovel the snow that should not be here right now. Now, I had snow out at my house this morning. How many of you had snow this morning? We had snow at our house this morning. You say, I'm going down to the church and I'm going to grab me a shovel and I'm going to shovel snow. I'm going to grab a hold of a lawnmower and grab a hold of that handle. I'm going to help mow grass down at the church. Hey, those are the things I'm going to hang on to get me to heaven. Those are called works. You can grab all the works you want in your hands, but they will not save you. Hey, this same Jesus is the one that will save you. You better grab a hold of salvation by grace through faith. This salvation. This. The scripture said, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. This. Let's exalt his word today. This. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm coming to you today. I'm saying, why don't you get saved? Let the same Jesus, this same Jesus that saved me, let him save you. You will not be saved by your good works. You'll not be saved because of church membership. You'll not be saved because of baptism. You'll not be saved because you give money to the church. You'll be saved because you realize you're a sinner. You'll be saved because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. And if you will ask him to be your Savior, this is what salvation is. If you're here today and if you died today, you say, Brother Owens, if I died today, I don't know for a fact. I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to be saved. I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. I was depending on something else. I see this. I see it. Pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. Somebody else, you say, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Who else? Say, that's me. God bless you. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. I need salvation. I need to trust Christ so I can go to heaven someday when I die. Whether you're on the lower floor or in the balcony, you need this same Jesus to save you. Then, may I say, I believe there's somebody here today. We get all frustrated about life and the world and our burdens and our afflictions, and we all face them, folks. We all do. But you say, what's the answer? This. The Word of God. In the Word of God there is comfort. Everything. God knows what He's doing. God's not forsaken you. God's not left you. God's brought you through in the past. He can bring you through now. You say, I fear the future. Don't you worry. God's already there. God's already there. The Word of God is eternal. It always has been and it always will be. There's no place in the future that God's Word is not already. And He is our deliverer. He's there. Who here would say, Brother Owens, the world, it startles me, and sometimes I lose track of this. I lose track of this very thought. But this morning, I'm going to grab a hold of my Bible, and I'm going to hang on to its promises. I'm going to believe in this. I'm not going to let anybody shake this out of my hand or make me doubt this. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to love it. And I needed it this morning in a special way to be reminded of this. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I needed to be reminded. I'm going to hang on to this. I'm going to let this bring me through the week. I'm going to let this bring me through my trial. God bless you, and you may put those hands down. If you need the altar in a moment, you might need to come down here, bring your Bible with you if you want. Just bring it down here with you when you come to the altar and say, God, I'm going to hang on to this. This is going to see me through. I thank God for men that can encourage us, but man can't always be there, but God can. God can. Grab a hold of this. Somebody here today, you're backslidden. It's time for you to come back to this. You come back to this. Somebody here, you've got yourself backslidden and you got yourself in a mess. You say, what's the answer, Brother Owens? This. Get back to the Bible. Who here would say, preacher, I'm away from God. Nobody looking. But you say, preacher, I'm away from God and I need to come back to this. Pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm away from God. I see that hand. Hands all over the place. If you need this altar, you might need to come rededicate your life. I don't know. That's up to you. If you've been saved and never been baptized, if you've been saved and never made it public, why don't you come and you use this altar this morning? In a moment, the pianist, the organist are going to begin to play. We're all going to stand. The choir will begin to sing. If you need this altar, you come. You come. You let this sermon, these words, help you with your comfort. Because we all face some affliction. I'll ask the instrumentalist to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Choir, you begin to sing. If you need this altar, you come. Whether you're young or old, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, this is the answer. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It's God's word that'll keep you alive. It's God's word that will solve your problems. The word of God's a big deal. This. Good men and bad men, educated and uneducated, known and unknown, young and old alike. Everybody faces affliction. Some today, some tomorrow, some a long time ago, and some in the future. But the answer is this. If you're not saved, why don't you come? We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you have been saved and never made it public, why don't you come and we'll help you to do so. If you've been saved and never baptized, why don't you come? Maybe you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation. You might need to come and join fellowship with this church. We welcome you to come. Somebody here's backslidden. You're away from God. You're living in sin. I'll tell you what's happened to you. You have wandered away from this. You used to pray, but you don't anymore. What happened? You stopped having faith in this. You used to read your Bible, but you're away from this. The reason you're away from church is you're away from this, the Word of God. This is my story. This is my song. In times like these, you know what we need? We need an anchor. Jesus is our anchor. You come if you need the altar. Soul winners, be thorough. Take your time. Do it right. Name takers, write so I can read it. Print. What this do you have in your hands? You say, Brother Owens, you are listing all those things, the drugs and the alcohol and all of that that the lost people grab a hold of. It's a sad thing, but there are saved people that lose track of who their God is and they grab a hold of those things. Somebody needs to let go of the wrong this and grab a hold of the right this. Get the right this in your life, my friend. Not those, this. Not that, this. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Thank God. David said this. This is it. This is what you've been looking for. This is what's missing in your life. One more time through the song, name takers, work quickly, thoroughly but quickly for me, please. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. Go ahead and have a seat there. If I call your name, it means you've made some type of a decision. We're going to help you to make that public. If I do call your name, I need you to stand when I call your name, and we'll rejoice with you. Folks, those of you who are not necessarily involved in this portion of the invitation, I hope that you'll pay close attention. And look, when we spend our time exalting the Word of